Happy Sabbath, y'all. So the joke is that I now have two working titles for every sermon I preach. Like, outside of like the LRT sermons, like that are kind of already situated, anything else, I have just two working titles, and they're one of them is As the Spirit Moves, and the other one is Things My Bible Says. So when people are like, "Oh, what's the message this Sabbath?" I'm like, "As the Spirit Moves." Like, "Oh man, can't wait to hear it." And I'm like, "Yeah, neither can I." Or like, "Things My Bible Says." "Oh, I can't wait to break that down." Yep. I mean, "Things My Bible Says," as the Spirit moves. So yeah, we're just going to, already something's on my heart that goes contrary, but it's different to what we shared in first service. So we're just going to dive into that. I do want to say thank you, because yeah, there is a very sincere place in my heart that y'all are very dear to me as a congregation, and it's such a blessing to come off the road every once in a while and see y'all, especially when we're running around to, you know, what's our longest stretch? 3 month stretch where we don't see home, or at least I don't see home in the Hawaiian sense, and every once in a while I get a good break. So it's great to be with y'all. I'm actually really looking forward to, I fly out tomorrow morning to Chattanooga, and I'm going to be with my sister and my little nephew, so that'll be a good time. I actually got some friends right here that are from Chattanooga, from Crosswalk, my sister's local church, so welcome. And yeah, we want to dive right in, so let's just say a quick prayer, and we'll see where the Lord leads. We'll see what our Bible says as the Spirit moves. Father God, we just thank you for this time. We thank you for what we're about to just receive in your name. We thank you for the word that you've already put in us, and how it's this implanted word that's able to save our souls. And how as we set our minds on the things of the Spirit, we get a revelation of the kingdom that is ours, that you've put inside of us through your Spirit, and how it's immovable, unshakable, and this kingdom shall never fold, it shall never fade, it shall never break. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So we were going on this actually in the young adult Sabbath school, and it's something that we want to talk about, and it's in conjunction with what we said in the first service, and it's about the power of right believing. The power of right believing is the place where we actually live from. And the power of right believing is not just a belief in something in the intellectual and cognitive sense, but a power of right believing in the sense that we're established in something and we move and live from it, right? So it's this idea of believing that pursues because it's established in belief. Right, the scripture says it in this way, that it's faith, right? From faith to faith, yeah? So as you actually are established in faith, you move from that faith that you've received, and as you move, you see the Spirit of God manifest, and what he promised actually comes to pass, because we're moving from a faith that's receiving grace, and grace empowers the reality that causes even greater faith. Amen. Good. So as we actually move from the confidence of that which he said, we're established in it, we receive it, and his grace empowers it, because his grace is not the permission for us to live in licentiousness. We've established that in this house. His grace is not the thing that overlooks sin, right? We've been here before, but too often in places that I visit or in things I hear, we then speak of grace as the very thing that overlooks our waywardness and our brokenness. Let that never be so. For grace is the power of God. While we are weak and dependent, he gives us his strength, and in us his grace works unto the thing that he intended, rooted in faith. That's why it's grace, power, through faith, right? It's faith. We are saved by grace through faith. Why? Because the power of grace is apprehended and it is individualized in a person as they're living from faith. And faith is the agreement between word and reality, so that what he says is the reality I live, even though the circumstances don't look like it. Simply because he spoke it. Because there's never been somebody else who has spoken and creation agrees. Let there be light. So that then when I receive his word implanted in my heart that's able to save my soul, I set my mind on that word, and as I'm established in that word, my life comes into agreement with that word, faith.
I move in that confidence, and faith receives that grace that is mine liberally. But how does it actually receive it? It receives it by posturing in right belief in faith. Belief doesn't come by after you seeing something. Like, all right, well, I'm going to test the Lord, see if it comes to pass, and when it comes to pass, I'll believe. We are positioned to actually look back at the cross and see what God did, receive what the cross accomplished in our lives via his Spirit, so we can live by faith and actually see our belief manifest through grace.
Amen. That makes sense? Y'all tracking with me? So, we were talking about this earlier, where then a life established in belief, a life established in faith, receives in grace that which he says he will accomplish through his word. And then you actually see it. And what's so dope is that, like what we talked about last night, healing, for instance, like those signs follow those who believe. Amen. The signs follow those who, what? Believe. What does that then mean? That the signs do not follow, right? They don't follow the person in unbelief. They follow the person that believes, so that the person that believes can come and bring kingdom because they're established in belief, and the sign of kingdom can actually manifest through them so that others might taste and see that God is good and come into faith under Christ Jesus. These are why signs and wonders came with the presentation of the gospel in the book of Acts. Why? Because they followed those who believe in order to testify that that which they were believing was actually manifesting in reality through those who were already positioned in that reality through his grace, having kingdom established. So that anywhere you walk, you're bringing the reality of the kingdom into a space. And in that space, you're also bringing the fullness of everything he wants to manifest through his citizens. We good? Brian, you tracking? My man. That's my dude. Are y'all with me? I'll give you an example. Turn with me to the book of Luke. Luke chapter 5. Huh? Yeah, my man. Luke chapter 5. We were on this actually in a young adult Sabbath school, and this is what put me on here. Right believing is so important. David, is David in the back still? Yeah, David's still there? And I think he is. David, just want to let you know, I think, is that Miranda? I can kind of see you, Miranda. Miranda, wave, that's you. Yeah, I can see you. Okay. I just want to let you know that I'm going to go to that video that I requested, and I'm going to go in just a few minutes, and it'll be just after the baptism. There's a portion that there's a baptism. Just after that is where I want to go to the video. So thank you, David. Luke chapter 5. Look at this. At what time are we done? 1 o'clock. One-ish. Y'all cool with that? Well, you want to leave? Luke 5, verse 17. Y'all already know you ain't getting out at 1. Are you? I preached here enough times for y'all to know it wasn't 1 o'clock. Luke 5, 17. Look at what we're talking about being established in belief or believing on something, walking it out in faith, and then grace comes to actually make it true. Verse 17 of Luke chapter 5. On one of those days, as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law were sitting there, who had come from every village of Galilee and Judea and from Jerusalem. And the power of the Lord was with him too. So the power of the Lord is present in Christ Jesus to actually heal. To heal who? Anybody. Right? Anybody. Now look at what's so dope. Let's keep reading. And behold, some men were bringing on a bed a man who was, and they were seeking to bring him in and lay him before Jesus. But finding no way to bring him in because of the crowd, they went up on the roof and let him down with his bed
through the tiles in the midst before Jesus. So the presence of Jesus is there in bodily form. The text is telling us that his power, the power to heal, is present with him to heal who? Anybody and everybody. There is a group of people, a group of men who have actually taken it upon themselves to bring a paralytic friend of theirs to Jesus precisely. Why would they bring this dude to Jesus? Because they heard about Jesus, right? And what is it that they heard about Jesus? They heard that he had the power to heal. And they believed it. Right? They believed it. And in believing it, look what they did. Being positioned in belief, they put their buddy on some sort of contraption, lugged him up a staircase or some sort. They got on top of the home, took the tiles out, and lowered him in, right? So from their belief, they were walking it out. And as they're walking it out, he gets lowered in the midst of them. Look what the text says. Verse 20. And when he saw their faith. Notice how it's not when he saw his faith. Because whose faith was it that was actually working, putting this dude on a mat, taking the ceiling off, and lowering him in? It was their faith. Why? Because they saw Christ and believed something about him, and being positioned in belief, they walked it out and presented their loved one before him who they knew had the power to heal, even while their paralytic friend is under condemnation. How do we know that he's under condemnation? Because the first thing that Jesus does is he speaks to this man's heart, and what the man is longing for is forgiveness of sins. Amen. He's longing for forgiveness of sins because he's existing in a theological world that says the consequences of your life are merited and they determine your worth and value. He lives under a theological rubric that says the consequences of your life are merited and they determine your value. Anybody ever participated in that theological rubric? That the consequences of your life are merited and they determine your value? Because I know that's not from just Israel 2,000 years ago. That's the position that we have too often in relationship to God, that the consequences we live under, we merited them, and they then determine our value. But what we were going in with the young adults is that it's so amazing that Jesus Christ is there and he never lets the condition of the man determine this man's created value and legacy. Because Jesus is seeing him through his created value and the intent of his life. And in Jesus seeing him that way, he's correctly understanding what this man is about. And who else is coming into agreement with the way that Jesus sees if none other than the friends who are believing? Think about that, y'all. The friends who are believing are coming into agreement with Jesus and what Jesus sees so that the power of the Lord that is there to heal can speak to somebody who might not be in belief. It's amazing, right? Now, watch this. What is it that Jesus sees about this man that he knows that this dude should not be a paralytic? I'm a deep thinker. There's a deep thought here coming. There's something that this man has that Jesus knows he should not be a paralytic. You ready for it? He's got legs. That's deep. Why? Because Jesus sees him according to his created value, knowing that that which he sees is the intent of his life. Are you with me? So the dude's got legs. If the legs ain't working, something's wrong. And he's not living according to his created value. But the thought is that simply because he has legs, we overlook the fact that he has legs and we begin to think that he has to live according to the consequences of his choices, even at the expense of his created appendages. Think about that with me for a second. We will overlook the very instruments that are there that testify that we were intended for something else because we're so blinded by the consequences that we think that either we or somebody else ought to merit, rooted in the deception that the enemy brings into this world that since we made our bed, we must lay in it. That is a lie. because you were never created for that bed to begin with. You were created to stand with the legs he created you for. It is the enemy who then tells us that the consequences of our choices are our intended destiny. When it is the Spirit of God in the person of Jesus testifying that there's another story being told over your life. And even when you don't believe it, there might be a house and a fellowship that believes something about you and for you that you might not see for yourself. And they bring you before the feet of Jesus, and Jesus, who agrees and sees through spirit in the same way that we're seeing through spirit because of belief, can bring healing into somebody's life when they can't see past the consequences of their choices. Amen. You understand? It's right believing. We have the privilege of coming into agreement with the power of God to heal precisely because we're the sort of people that have received his healing.
Yeah.
Amen. Yeah. Why? Because we got legs too. And our legs didn't used to work. I don't even know if that's good grammar. Anyway, who knows? But what happened? His faith came alive in us when he deposited his life through Holy Spirit. We received the truth about what God was saying through Jesus. Freedom from sin. Healing from our past so that we could have boldness in his name. And now we want that for each and every single person because we have the privilege of seeing people through their created value, not their consequences, so that we believe good. We believe good as we see good in light of who he is, and we can bring others to the feet of Jesus because we ourselves are postured and positioned in belief, not wishing and hoping to see if something might work so that we can feel more confident and feel a little better. That's not how we move. We move precisely because he's good. And we're positioned in belief. And here's something that we were sharing earlier. That what this man had, the paralytic, he had a created destiny and value that no one could take away because God gave it to him. And God loved this man when he created him, and God loved him even still as the man was believing that he's under condemnation. And God's love can never be changed so that no amount of condemnation that you believe can actually change his posture and the way he sees you. And it's precisely because his love can't be changed that his love is always changing people. Right? So that as you and I come into agreement with the immovable rock that sees people through created value, and we live a life established in that belief, the consequences and circumstances of this life, even the condemnation that tries to come upon us, cannot determine our truth and worth and value because by his wounds we are healed. Y'all tracking with me? And so, Jesus offers the man what the man first is looking for, which is forgiveness, right? Talked about this back there, talking a little bit about forgiveness and healing, right? That what is healing other than our bodies and our realities coming to the agreement of his intended design? When he designed us and when he thought about us in our mother's womb, he had a purpose, a destiny, and a legacy for us. Right? We fell into deception, and because of that deception, we get. Right? What is healing other than his grace in our lives having us come back into agreement with our intended design? That's healing. You with me? And how does healing come? Healing comes through the forgiveness of sin. That's why it's so important for us to have an understanding that our sin has been forgiven, because it's in our sin being forgiven that we come into agreement with his reality for us, because we have peace with our God precisely because we stand justified just as if we'd never been taken captive by sin. So as we stand justified, we have healing in his name. And because we have healing in his name, we have belief that his healing can manifest in those who need it. And so we bring them unto Jesus precisely because Jesus can do that which he said he was going to do. So in our right believing, we posture others to receive the very freedom we've received, to receive the very healing that we've received, so that they might come into agreement with their value. Right? Look, verse 20. And he saw their faith and he said, "Man,
your sins are forgiven you. What? The scribes and the Pharisees began to question, who is this who speaks blasphemies? Who can forgive sins but God alone? When Jesus perceived their thoughts, he answered them, why do you question in your hearts which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven you, or to say, rise up and walk? I remember I was troubled by that for a while. Like, what is easier to say? Like, I think it's actually easier to say your sins are forgiven, right? Because who can tell? Well, hey, your sins are forgiven. Okay, in Jesus' name, right? But in the context of this story, Jesus is actually taking his life in his hands when he says your sins are forgiven. It's not like us on the other side of the cross that go up to a Christian and we're like, hey, your sins are forgiven. Somebody could be like, hallelujah, all right, amen, let's have some potluck. Right? No. If Jesus is going around telling people your sins are forgiven, he's taking the posture of God. He's putting his life in his hands. It's blasphemy. Right? Who is this who speaks blasphemy? Right? So think about the threat of Jesus' life when he actually utters these words. He's taking his life into his hands when he utters the words to this man, your sins are forgiven. Y'all with me? And he speaks them anyway. The paralytic is there. If Jesus says, your sins are forgiven, he runs the risk of being executed. If Jesus says, rise up and walk, and the dude doesn't rise up, he runs the risk of being laughed at. In our scenario, we say rise up and walk, and we run the risk of being laughed at. But if we say your sins are forgiven, we're like, yeah, the Bible says that, so we're all good. We don't understand the weight of what's going on when Jesus says your sins are forgiven. And when he tells the dude to rise up and walk, he's doubling down on the first statement. And he's doubling down on the first statement so that somebody might rise up in their intended and created value and design, even at the expense of himself. You with me? This is what's going on here. So watch. Which is easier to say, your sins are forgiven, or you say rise and walk? Verse 24, but that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins, he says to the man who's paralyzed, I say to you, rise, pick up your bed, and go home. And immediately he rose up before them and picked up what he had been lying on and went home glorifying God. And amazement seized them all, and they glorified God and were filled with awe, saying, we have seen extraordinary things today. Oh, man, there's so much there. Here's where I want to start. Show you this video. Kind of reverse engineer it. We believe that Jesus is the God of heaven who forgives sins. We believe that Jesus is the God of heaven who forgives sins and heals. And precisely because we believe that, we run the risk of being ridiculed because we will posture people according to our belief and pursue what he says is ours by faith so that his grace can land. So that, like I told you yesterday, because we're believing this, Eddie will kneel down and pray for somebody's ACL to get healed, and the ACL got healed. Now, he runs the risk of looking like a fool. But because we're believing, the power of the Lord is there to heal. Are you with me? So last week in Denver, in light of all of this, last week in Denver, we were with doing LRT Wave 2, and there is a couple there who the wife showed up first, and she showed up, and she's hearing the message, and something lands, right? And the reason something lands is precisely because you and I have the privilege of stewarding the mysteries of God so that as we speak, others hear kingdom. You with me? Like, in the same way that the friends had the privilege of stewarding their faith and bringing these guys to Jesus, you and I have the privilege as citizens of kingdom to steward these mysteries and speak them so that people have an encounter with Jesus, because these signs follow those who believe. Y'all picking up what I'm laying down? Let me see if I can say it another way. yo, the kingdom of Jesus is within you if you're willing to believe it, so that the very miracles of the book of Acts are still available to us, because he wants to demonstrate himself strong in signs and wonders, because the spirit, the kingdom of God is about not only righteousness, joy, and peace, but it's simply not about words, but it's also about power. But he's waiting for a people who will rise up in belief to manifest the kingdom apart from the natural knowledge of this world, so that the kingdom can blow people's minds and they might understand how much they're loved by God. Amen. This is what I'm trying to tell you, that healing power is here to heal, and it's in us to heal. And you might be getting nervous, like, what are you saying? You out there healing people in Jesus' name? Yes. And the Bible says we can. Amen. And so we pursue. But when it doesn't happen, we don't let our faith fall apart, because our faith is not in seeing the healing. Our faith is already in the healer. And because he's healer, he's going to bring healing in due time. So we pursue and we persist because we're consistent in believing him. So as we're established in belief, even if our buddy's a paralytic, we're willing to drop him through the ceiling so that he can get an encounter with Jesus. Amen. That's your privilege. And the thing that keeps us from living in that is we got too much natural knowledge and too much theology that stands in the way at times. Right? And I'm not saying let's not think. Let's always think, because the Spirit of God is always thinking. But the Spirit of God doesn't think according to the way we think. The Spirit of God thinks according to the way he thinks. And he wants us to come in agreement with the way he thinks. He doesn't surrender to the way we think. So it's still reasonable, but it's not natural knowledge and reason. You with me? So that when this young girl comes into our meeting last week in Denver, and she's there without her husband, and she's been attending counseling sessions for months and months and months on end, natural knowledge tells us to not speak too hard about what the Bible says, because we might expose her to hurt, and then she might have to go back to her counselor, and her counselor might tell her, hey, maybe you shouldn't visit these guys because they're speaking some crazy stuff, so that she's more rooted in the deception that she's established in. You with me? But because we're established in belief and this thing is true and we've seen it manifest, we're willing to actually manifest kingdom so that somebody might have an encounter, because we steward these mysteries in jars of clay. And so we're willing to put people through the roof so that they might meet Jesus. Because these signs follow those who believe. You tracking? So this young lady comes to our meeting. She hears a word. She gets excited, invites her husband. Her husband comes. And I'm doing that thing that you just saw me do from up front. Right? That's how my mom probably be saying. That's how you preach, Jonathan. I'm like, yeah, man, I don't have like one thought. It's like 1,000, like a machine gun. I'm going to hit somebody. Everybody talk about, you want to have your one pastoral thought. Nah, I'm trying. I'm just casting seed, y'all. Right, some seed falls where it needs to. That's what it is. So she comes, brings her husband. They hear something. I'm going in. Spirit of the Lord is there to heal. Boom, boom, boom. Hitting them hard. Eddie comes around. As Eddie and Jayla only can. Not only can, but as they do, operating the way they're operating, and they're believing what we're telling you, that there is healing in Jesus' name, and that healing follows those who believe. These signs follow those who believe. So although this girl isn't believing on what's about to happen, we're believing on what's about to happen, because we've seen Jesus work. And since we know Jesus, we're trying to put her on a mat and present her before the King of Kings. And it just so happens that the King of Kings happens to live within us through his spirit, so that when we put her on a mat, we're able to speak according to his life within us, so that she might be delivered from the condemnation she's under, receive forgiveness and healing, so that she might rise up and walk in confidence. And here's why she needed healing: because she cheated on her husband. She cheated on her husband. They were at the brink of divorce. They came back from the brink. They've been in counseling for 8, 9, 10 months, however long it's been. Hardness of heart, hurt, deception. And so, yeah, there's a space where I totally want to talk about the miraculous and the healing of bodies, like we did last night, about ACL getting healed, but we're talking about the healing of hearts. And he comes to deliver us from condemnation so he can establish us in confidence according to our created value. And we have the privilege of being those who can usher that in as we're rooted in belief. And so Eddie and Jayla are talking to this couple, and they begin to receive.
And would you believe, watch this, would you believe that given the belief of Eddie and Jayla and what we're believing over their lives, that they actually have an encounter with Jesus, have condemnation removed from their marriage, come into communion where the two are now one, and the Spirit of God actually establishes them as husband and wife so that they leave that space transformed, walking on their own two feet because that's what they were created for. Amen. You understand what I'm saying? But these signs followed those who believed. These signs followed those who believed. If we came in there and we established them opposite their created value and saw them through brokenness and saw them through unhealing and saw them through all the trials and tribulations and then gave them some theology that says, well, you know, God is in the midst of you and hopefully he'll be to help you and he'll bring you along. Nah, you know we ain't about that. I don't believe in process. Like, oh, it's a process. No, it ain't. It's growth. But you only grow according to what you already are. You don't grow to kingdom, you grow in kingdom. There is no process to get in kingdom. It's from death to life. In Jesus' name. Now, it might take you a while to believe it was that quick. And that might be your process. But what he did wasn't process. What he did is he took us from death and established us in life in Christ Jesus. You'll forgive me. I don't believe in long age evolution. He said it, and it happened. Because some of us want to be creationists when it comes to the Genesis 1 through 3, but when it comes to our own lives, we're long range evolutionists. Right? Because in creation, he created a whole world in 7 days. He speaks that it happens. But in my life, you know, it's a process. No, it's not. Believe the word and grow. That's the process. You grow into him. That's the process. Now, you might finally catch a revelation later. It took you 30 years to get the revelation of what you already had. But don't you then bring down his work to our length of time and process. You understand what I'm saying to you? So we position people according to the truth of what we believe them to be. We don't position them according to the deception of them thinking that they're on this long-range journey to come to God. No, God has come to you. And because that God has come to you, you have the privilege of growing up into it. So these signs follow those who believe that truth about God's nearness and his ability to heal right here, right now, in Jesus' name. These are the signs that follow those who believe. And what is it that we believe? Free from sin. What is it that we believe? Healed in Jesus' name. I do not position people in brokenness. You can tell me all about your brokenness, God be praised. And I'm going to tell you all about his healing, God be praised. But I will not position people in brokenness because in Jesus you are not broken. And we're trying to see you through Jesus. That does not mean we do not validate your hurt, your trauma, your experiences. They're absolutely true and we need to hear them and we can unpack them. But you were designed and created for more. And the way we see is through his wholeness so that when we speak of Jesus, we speak according to his created design so that you might walk into the fulfillment of what you were intended for, because these signs follow those who believe. Amen. So we position this couple this way. Now I'm gonna let them testify to what happens when signs follow those who believe. So if David, if you could play that, and Hans, if you don't mind getting that light.
Yeah, so you guys shared that your marriage probably a year ago went through something traumatic.
A year ago.
Yeah. And there were rites that were
so
being
exercised on.
Exercised. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You had some rites that you were hanging on?
I did.
What too.
Were they? And you
did too. Yeah, we both did.
Yeah. I thought my mind was made up. I thought I knew what I wanted. I was going to stick to my guns and we were going to get a divorce.
Mm-hmm. And I was like, how dare he? Even though I was the wayward spouse and I broke the marriage vows, I was like, how could you? What? I just couldn't. And I was operating from a place of pride and selfishness.
Yeah, pride. I remember you telling me because he made you tell friends or something?
He told me I had to tell my parents.
Mm.
And he had already told his parents, and he had already told some of his closest friends, and he said, I think it's time you tell your parents what you've done and what's going to happen now, the divorce and everything, and tell our closest friends. So on his birthday, we drove to our closest friend's house, and at dinner time, he's like, okay, Floor, Floor has something to share.
Oh, he just put you on the spotlight.
And I had to, like, say what I had done to other people, and so just pride just, like, rose up. Like, it just, like, took over. You know, I had felt really bad for what I had done, but then I felt even more angry than any.
Yeah, and so then in the following weeks, in the following months, my heart, and I realized, like, this is actually, I don't want to leave her. Like, I want to work on the marriage. I want to become better. But at that time, because of your pride, it's like the script was flipped, and now I was the one. Like,
then he wanted to stay in the marriage.
I wanted to stay, but she's like, nah, you're the one who did this to me.
You did this to me, and you made me tell people that I, like, really looked up to. I'm like, then it's over. So then it took 8 months.
8 months?
8 months after that.
Yeah, it's a long time.
Yeah, a lot of fights.
8 months for giving it a second thought, and maybe reconciliation and therapy, or what?
8 months of therapy, back and forth, decisions.
And a lot of still anger, and pride, and hurt between us.
More sin, you know? I even went to this crazy thing called Burning Man. I don't know if you know what that is. You should Google it.
No, I know what it is.
You don't need to Google it.
Watch a YouTube video, and that'll tell you, like, what the essence of Burning Man is. I went to that alone.
Wow, crazy.
Because I was, like, just so engulfed in sin, and I was just so mad and angry and selfish and prideful that I was like, maybe I can go to Burning Man and I'll get my answer there. Mm. Like, what? No. I didn't find my answer there, by the way. It was horrible. We actually went to a marriage boot camp in Nashville.
In October.
And they talked a little bit about God, but not too much.
Mm-hmm.
It was very, like, research-based and that kind of a thing.
Mm-hmm.
And it made sense that, like, being married is better.
So ever since then, we've been recommitted to each other, but still both living with under the identity of our old selves.
Of sinners.
Until
this week.
Until this week.
What happened this week?
I don't know. It's just so crazy.
We got hit with some truth.
We got slapped in the face with some truth, I'll tell you that.
We've always been proud of that, too.
Yeah, we were proud that we were conservative.
Mm-hmm.
But then what Jonathan was saying, I was like, wait, what?
I never heard this.
Like, is
I
he
never
crazy?
Heard this.
Yeah, like, what? Like, I wish so bad that my dad could be here and listen to it, you know?
You know how your daddy's gonna listen to it? He's not gonna listen to it. He's gonna experience it.
Yeah, through me.
Through you. Mm-hmm. Through your marriage.
Yeah.
The way you guys interact with each other now.
Yeah.
That you're no longer a man that is living with an offense and carrying that offense. Hanging on to that right. You're no longer that woman that walks on eggshells around him because you feel like you need to be nice to him because he still holds the ticket.
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
You're wanted. You're loved. Mm-hmm. You're enough. Yeah?
Yeah.
You're forgiven. You're restored. The two have become one.
Totally. In the car, on the way.
I got to. Do you see what Eddie's doing? These signs follow those who believe. He's not positioning them according to their crippled legs. He's positioning them according to the truth of legs that walk. Why? Because the two are one in Jesus' name, and he will not allow the deception of what they've lived in frame their reality. And so we, from a position of belief, have the privilege of speaking according to the truth of what we see. Why? Because the power of Jesus is present to heal. And it's present to heal through us now who stand established in believing. And not only believing right, but having the Spirit of God inside of us so that we can minister a kingdom. We're not trying to build a kingdom. He's already built a kingdom. We get to minister a kingdom because we have it. Is that all right? So I wanted to draw attention to that because this is what we're talking about. They talk about a deception that they lived in a process, but on the other side, what you have is believers who believed something about them. And that then the healing and everything that is possible comes through believers who are positioned in belief because these signs follow those who believe. So that when you put a paralytic in front of Jesus, we don't see them through legs that don't work. We see them through wholeness. And in seeing them through wholeness and speaking forgiveness of sins and healing in Jesus' name, the Spirit of God is there to heal through the word that speaks life because it follows us. Yeah? Amen. Yeah. We'll pay the rest of it. All right.
Way home, I realized, like, you know, my whole life, I wanted to be accepted by my parents, especially my dad. But I was always like the black sheep of the family, and I was always the different one, the one with red hair, the one who wears jewelry, whatever. But now I'm like, I don't need my earthly father's acceptance anymore. I don't even need that. Wow. And yesterday, the reason why I was crying so much is because I forgave him during that prayer. I was like, Dad, you're just trying your best, you know, and I love you and I forgive you.
That's so good.
You know, but I'm another person now, and I don't need his validation because I have my Heavenly Father's validation. And so that to me was the best thing, the best gift you could have given me. You know?
And the truth is that you said it like, Mom and Dad were doing their best with what they had. Mm-hmm. They love you. Yeah. They love you very much. And the beautiful thing is that you don't need that.
I don't need it. Yeah. That set me free. And like for the first time, I told John, for the first time in maybe a year, I've been sleeping. Because I've had trouble sleeping for a long time. Like,
let's go.
And I actually slept so good. And I actually slept less hours, you know, because I had to get up really early to work the hospital. Mm-hmm. I was telling you, like, oh man, I have to get up earlier and earlier every day. And I was going to bed late because of the meetings, but I felt so energized and rested. No coffee, no caffeine, no nothing. It's just the spirit.
New life.
New life.
That's pretty awesome.
That's awesome.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Honestly, thank you.
We can't go back.
I'm not going back, man.
How go could back you? To what?
No.
Slavery?
To ignorance.
We're leaving Egypt. We're in the Exodus out.
You've been rescue from the muck and mire. Stepping on that thing that builds the bricks, that builds the kingdom of another.
Yeah, that's true.
You've been set free from that.
I just want to tell everyone about it, you know.
There you go.
And that's the response.
Starting with my parents.
There you go.
Yeah.
There you go. That's beautiful.
Yeah.
Let your light shine so brightly before men. So that they will see that you are his.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I'm so surprised.
So you don't want to sleep.
And did you see when Ed was talking about her parents that he wasn't going to position their parents in their shortcomings either? You heard that? He was like, hey, your parents are doing the best that they can. Like, seeing through spirit, right? Like, and so no condemnation, right? That's the word. And so we have the privilege of being those friends who lower a paralytic. And it's our faith that he sees. And our faith can bring healing. Why? Because we release kingdom in our right believing. We need to know who and what we are. We need to know freedom from sin. That needs to be in our hearts received. We need to know that there is healing in Jesus' name from the traumas of our past. We don't live from trauma, we live from truth. That doesn't mean the trauma didn't happen. It just means that truth is so much greater. Right? There's healing. By his wounds we are healed, not by the erasing of our wounds. The wounds, yeah, we acknowledge them, but there's healing. And as we live in that, there's a boldness to understand the blessing that is ours and position people according to their true value, so that our faith is willing to lower them because we know where the healing's at. Right belief. We believe good. You understand? Amen. We're going to dive a little more today. Yeah? We're going to dive a little more tonight. I'm going to put some practical tools in your pocket for tonight. I want to ask Pastor George to come up here as we finish and the team. And I want to encourage y'all. Pastor George, you grab a mic. I want to encourage y'all, even right now as we're finishing, and we did it in the earlier service, that if there's somebody in this place right now, and we don't want to, you know, if you know that there's a place where conviction is coming in your life in light of anything that you heard, I just want Pastor George to have a prayer, a moment of confession. I loved, Annalise? Mm-hmm. Annalise, we confess our persistent need of you. I like, oh, oh man, hurt me. And that's so beautiful, because that's the power of confession. It wasn't an admission of guilt. It was just a recognition of reality. We confess our persistent need of you, right? And that's what we get to live through, so that we get to position people in their abundance and their created value, and the signs follow those who believe, right? So if you will, I just want to give you a pastoral moment with your people in light of what's been shared, and just close up with a word of prayer. Yeah?